Okay. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just love you, Lord, and I just thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, Lord. Just please, God, I know we're always supposed to be prepared, Lord, and to preach, pray or perish, God. Just please help everyone to get something here tonight, God, and just I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So when preacher said earlier he didn't remember, I was like, well, I got to think of something just in case. What should I do, Lord? And I had like six things going through my head. So I'm going to run through this, amen. It's scary. We're just going to go over some verses and talk about some things and see if it reminds anybody of anything here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. All right, let's go over to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I wasn't as nervous a few weeks ago when I got to call everyone else up here to act stuff out. And my mind's going a million miles a minute. So 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Let's go over to Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So prayerful. Let's go ahead and Colossians 3:16. And this is something that was given to me a while ago, and I try to look at it every once in a while just to be accountable. So Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let's back up, and we're going to read this again. Ephesians 6:18. And we have just started turning, we're going to turn a lot of scripture here, amen. Ephesians 6:18. Repetition is how we learn, amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So those verses there were about a personal devotion or life with the Lord, amen. So let's go over, and I'm going to tell you what this is when I'm done, but I want to go through it here. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 6:7. It's kind of funny. Years ago, somebody asked me for a Christian CD from the bookstore, and we only have a few in there, and I gave them one. And they came back to me a week or two later, and they were very upset. They said it was too much Bible in the songs. And I looked at them like, I don't know, I thought they were crazy. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I didn't know what to say. For once in my life, I was speechless. I didn't know what to say. I was like, huh? Just staring at them. And it's just like when people have said things in church, they turn the Bible too much in church. Yeah. That's like telling a mechanic, you spend too much time working on the car or looking at the car. Or telling a parent, you spend too much time with your kids. As a Christian, we should be upset if someone isn't spending time in the Bible, giving a scripture, amen? Amen. So, what did I say, 2 Corinthians? I'm in first. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Let's go to James 4:4. So James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So we're going to move on here in just a second. But one little side note, if you haven't done it, or if you haven't done it in a while, I encourage you to read 1 Corinthians and then read 2 Corinthians. Because what you're going to see in that book, in those books, it's going to blow your mind. It's kind of like God knows what he's talking about. I know, it's amazing. Who would imagine? God knows what he's talking about. God has a reason. Do you remember being a kid and your mom and dad telling you something? And when you were really little, you knew they were right, but you were just like, why? When you were a teenager, they were hypocrites and you were perfect and you didn't realize you were an idiot until you were later. But kids are always like, why? 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 Well, I don't know if that's right. Why can't I stick my finger in the socket? Why can't I play with fire? Why do I have to look before I run into the street to get the ball? Because as a kid, you think you know everything. Your parents have a reason sometimes. Our Heavenly Father has a reason. So 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, we were talking last night about this. I'm going to summarize it, so read it, because I'm going to slaughter it and mess it up. But you got somebody, a church member, doing wrong. You know what the church does to them? They tell them, if you're not going to do right, we're breaking fellowship with you. Paul says, I was sorry that I made you sorry, but I'm glad that he got sorrowful and came back. Because what the Corinthians did is they broke fellowship with the person who was doing wrong. They weren't mean to him. They didn't post things on Facebook. They didn't talk about them behind their back. They didn't go in the nursery or prayer night or the guy's breakfast and talk trash about the person. What they did is they said, look, I love you. I'll say hi to you and I'll smile, but we're not hanging out because this is wrong. The way you're living is wrong. Yeah. Going to 2 Corinthians, if you're saved and you want to get back to the body and they've pushed you away, biblically separated, you want to get back because you're part of the body. So you have a choice to make. And in 2 Corinthians, you see the choice was they got right. But what we do is we push the Bible away, turn on Hallmark, maybe Joel Osteen. What's going to make me feel good? It's going to make me feel good to sit down with Squeak and give him hugs and kisses, even though he just, you know, killed his wife. He's got 15 other women on the side. He just robbed a liquor store, and he kicked three little babies in the face. But I'm going to say, he's a horrible guy. I don't get any worse than that. But I'm just going to ignore it because it makes me feel good to be nice and kind to him. I'm not saying you have to be mean to him, but what does the Bible say? What does Scripture say? How are you supposed to handle a situation when someone does something? The problem is the world right now with this guy who's upset with his kid dressing like an idiot because the mom's an idiot and the world's an idiot. Why do people think that's okay? Why over 50% of Christians think it's okay? Because the TV tells them it is. Because the news, they're idiots. Amen, preacher, they're idiots. Why aren't people getting what God thinks? Well, my pastor said this, the guy in church said this, the girl in church said that. I don't care what any of them say if it doesn't line up with what God says. Amen. What does God say? All right, Alex just did something really bad. I guarantee you, right now I just said that, someone's going to go home tonight and check on social media to see if they can find out what it was. You know what? God says you're doing something really bad. Are you going to look for Scripture to see what it is? No, because you don't want that. You want to feel good about someone else's sin because it makes you look better. So these verses, we're going to read some more here. We talked about being faithful, prayerful, devotional, being separated from the world. Let's go here to 2 Corinthians again and read this. I didn't even go into be holy and all that, but let's go into 2 Corinthians. The Bible's a hard book if you make it hard. It's an easy book if you make it easy. But you got to actually read it to figure it out. And then once you start reading it, you need to apply it. It's cool just to quote a verse to sound smart or be able to quote a song, you know, ask for a song. And it's cool to quote a verse to sound like you're spiritual in front of somebody. But you got to start applying it and living it. So 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. And we'll read verses 6 through 8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. So let's take a look here back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 16. Verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So that's talking about giving to the Lord's work. And we have so many people that can give to the lottery or give to the cable bill or give to the phone bill without batting an eye. But when it comes to giving to a missionary who's in town or an evangelist who's passing by, they're not giving a penny. So let's go here to, this is a simple one, but I do like it. Hebrews 10:25. It's cold and dark outside. The chickens are lonely and you're away from them. So what does this verse say? Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's a great verse that we use all the time for being in church. So read the chapter and you can learn more. But so being active in church, showing up when the doors are open. Well, I'm not going to go to Sunday school because it's stupid and it's boring. I don't care. I don't need Sunday school. I'm too smart. I'm going to hang out in the hallway. We should start selling videos of people hanging out in the hallway and downstairs during church service. How in the world can you tell people with a clear face you're going to church? You're not going to church. You're going to a building to hang out. You're not even in here listening to the preaching. But it was funny. I made a comment last time about not going to the bathroom, and they said the door only swung 3 times. A lot of times during a service, the door will swing 15 times. We can get 6- and 7-year-old kids to go an hour and a half without having to go to the bathroom, but we can't get adults to stay in church. And they got to go to the bathroom, and there's got to be 7 of them by the bathroom talking, or downstairs talking, or out in the parking lot by the window. You can hear them by these windows talking. Oh, man, church was great today. Was it? So be active in church. Be in church, amen. So this is going to blow your mind when I tell you where I'm getting all this scripture from. Someone was kind enough to put all this together for me, and it's really helped. So it's a good reference to look at sometimes. Let's go to Acts. It's just simple stuff, but we make it so hard. If you want to hang out and fellowship with people, get here 20 minutes early or stay 20 minutes late. Amen. I don't even know where Acts is. I guess it's before Romans, not after it. So Acts 20. Acts 20, verses 20 and 21. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So you've got to be willing to give of yourself of time. So I'm just going to take a few more minutes, and I'm going to give you a few more things. But does anyone know? I know one person does. They don't have to raise their hand. Does anyone know what I just read? Those verses, where I got them from?
Bible.
I got them from the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Faith Baptist Church Sunday School and Junior Church Teachers Qualities, Duties, and Responsibilities that was given to us a few years ago. Which these apply to anybody in the building.
That's right.
Not just a, well, you know, preacher can't do that. The deacon can't do that. It's okay for me to do that. No. It's simple. But did you even know that we have that? Amen. A lot of the teachers, and Brother Eddie actually was kind enough to give this to everybody. And it's a polite way of saying, hey, read your Bible. This is what is expected of you.
And pray.
Amen. Amen. We talked some verses about being in prayer, being prayerful. It's not about how smart you are or anything. It's, you can be the smartest person in the world or the dumbest person in the world. It doesn't matter. If you're in your Bible, you can help anybody in this room.
That's right.
And that's what we need. We need more Christians that are in the Bible. Not, I don't have time, brother. You know how hard it is. I work like 7 to 8 hours a day, and I actually don't really physically work the whole time I'm there, but I'm there some of the time, and I get paid for 7 or 8 hours a day, 5 times a week, or... And it's so hard to find time to read the Bible. And I only get like 3 hours for my shows at night. I only get 2.5 hours a day for my social media. I get all this other time, but I cannot find any time to read my Bible. It's so hard to read my Bible, brother. You don't know. Pastor, his education, 28 years in college, pastor could read so much and do so well. Pastor has it so easy. Brother dead, family hard times, all these horrible stories in prison. Oh, pastor had it so much easier than I do. I'm curious, when we stand before the Lord, is he going to beat us? Amen. Pastor and I were just talking about that. Amen.
I'll show him the verse.
Amen. Pastor's got a verse that the saved may get beat at the judgment. Amen. And even if we don't get beat, just the fact that we're going to stand before God and disappoint him because, you know, a cigarette, a TV show, a music song, a video game, we put something first. I'm not saying you're not going to slip and we're not going to make mistakes, but basic little things, it blows my mind. So I'm going to stop there. We've got duties of the teacher, responsibilities of the teacher, and I've got some scripture and things for that, but it's amazing as Christians what we let go. It's amazing that Christians think certain things are acceptable and okay because it makes me feel good, or because my people at work say it's okay. What does God say? I'm not saying I'm going to go out and stone anybody. One of the filthiest things to me are pedophiles. Now they're called LGBTQ. Because their whole goal is to get the age down.
Yeah.
But the world's pushing it like it's normal and it's okay, and this hate speech junk, most of that stuff never holds up in court. If I go kill somebody, then they can use the hate speech laws then. But 9 out of 10 times, or 99 out of 100 times, you hear this junk on the news, and I can go sue anybody right now and claim anything. It doesn't mean it's going to hold up in court. But Christians don't stand up anymore. Christians just go with it. You have all these kids leaving churches. Where are they all at? Why are they not here? I don't know. They're definitely not in the book. But Christians need to stand up, and like Pastor's been teaching on Sunday school, which you should be here if you're not teaching, amen. And then Derek puts it online so you can hear it. Pastor's been teaching why we believe what we believe and giving scripture for it. Maybe you should listen to that. Actually see what your pastor believes and what he believes the book teaches. Maybe you'll learn something. Maybe we'll start thinking, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't wear that because it's not pleasing to God. Maybe I shouldn't eat that, shouldn't watch that, shouldn't say that, shouldn't act that way because I got a verse for it. I was talking to someone earlier. People are always looking for a verse to justify them allowing to do something.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked for a verse to say you can't do something?
Yeah.
Have you ever played both sides of the coin? Sorry, God, I know the verse that says I can do it. But let me see the verses that say I can't do it. And then let me see what I'm willing to do. And I also challenge you, because I did it last year, to study the word worship. Because worship doesn't come without sacrifice.
Amen.
And as Americans, we don't sacrifice a whole lot. Could you imagine, though, if you could get victory over a show or a game or some silly little thing and you can get closer to God and make God happy. It's not like you're giving up your kid. Lord, I gave up Wheel of Fortune for a week for you. It's hard. You know, Vanna White, you got a 115-year-old lady out there spinning a little, she doesn't even spin the tiles anymore. Now it's all electric, I think. But it sounds stupid. We can't do it. I'm not addicted to it. You can't turn it off for a week. Can you read your Bible? You know, half an hour before and half an hour after, or 5 minutes before and 10 minutes after? No, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me. We laugh at it, but we can't do it. The box has a control over us. The radio has a control over us. Our friends have control over us. Social media does. But Scripture doesn't. Can you imagine if we all were so heavenly minded, we were no earthly good? It'd be a blessing, amen. Amen. Preacher's going to give you a verse about getting beat.
No,
you're not going to do that verse now.
I told him about this verse, about the judgment.